Welcome to the Well Society Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Kay, licensed master level social worker and certified Christian health and life coach. I'm your professional go-to expert for all driven yes women who desire more energy, peace, and joy for the things and people she loves the most so she can be well, feel well, and do well while coming to the proverbial well of Jesus. Thanks for coming to the well today. I'm so glad you're here. Hey, ladies. I don't normally do lives this way. Normally, when I do Facebook Lives this way, it messes up with me, but I'm going to try it this way and see what happens. So I'm going to try not to cry. Just bear with me because I've just got done crying, and I'm going to try not to cry, but I can't make any promises. So as you're coming on and you're watching this, please comment. Let me know if you're watching live. Let me know if you're catching the replay. I just wanted to come on like raw live in my state this morning. I like to keep things real in this group. And so sometimes I come on and I'm dressed ready for the day. And sometimes I come on and I'm unshowered and just got done crying like I am right now. And so I just wanted to come on real quick and just be real and raw with what kind of just happened in my world and in my heart, and share with you, because I am just a real live human being like you ladies are. And I think it's really important that you ladies see inside my heart and understand some of the work that I've done in my journey, so that you know the heartbeat behind my ministry of working with you all and why it's so important that we do this work together. So for those of you who don't know, my name is Erin Kay. I am a licensed master level social worker and a certified Christian health and life coach, and I help ambitious Christian women like you to create more joy, more energy, and more peace in their lives so that you can spend more time with the people and things that you love the most, which is going to make me cry because that's kind of what got me crying this morning in my own life. So I have four children. I have a 10-year-old, I have an 8-year-old, and I have a set of 6-year-old twins. And for those of you who don't know, I had a bit of a journey starting a family. My husband and I, we went through 6 years of infertility. After we got married, we wanted to start a family immediately. And, you know, things that they don't tell you when you're going through sex education classes growing up is how difficult it can be to start a family. And we didn't know what the problem was, and we went through all these tests, and we were told there wasn't a problem. We just had something called unexplained infertility. So that's almost worse when doctors tell you, oh, there's something wrong. We don't know why you can't get pregnant. And we were actually told, and this really hurt too, and I'm already emotional, so this is going to probably make me even more emotional. We were told by some doctor that there are just some people that are incompatible. And so to be married to someone that you believe and know that God ordained you to be together, and to have a physician tell you that you're incompatible to have children with them, like that's doesn't feel very good. So this one physician told us that we were incompatible to have children, that our biology, our chemistry, hormones, whatever, it just didn't mesh. We were basically like two magnets, two size of a magnet that didn't go together. Like we repelled. And what a horrible thing to tell a couple who is trying to have a child. So then we went on to have what another physician called us was a sporadic pregnancy. We got pregnant without any intervention, and I ended up losing that baby. And another physician told us that that was a sporadic pregnancy. They didn't know how it happened, and that we would probably never get pregnant ever again. So we've heard a lot of things. We've heard a lot of really hurtful things. And so then a year later, we ended up signing some adoption paperwork because I was just so weary and so done. And the Lord told me, you know what, like all children on the, you know, that I create, they're my children anyway. And so I want you, you know, to think about adoption. So we signed the adoption paperwork. And then right after we got approved to move forward with the adoption process, I found out that I was pregnant with Juliana. And then within 3 years and 9 days, we ended up having our four children. So that's kind of the history of our journey. And so, you know, for a while there, I'm saying all this because for a while there, I do hope this is in the group. It is being broadcast in the group. Thank goodness. But for a while there, I got lost in the pregnancy journey and I lost my identity in becoming pregnant and lost my identity in and associated my worth as a person in whether I could have a child or not, and associated my worth as a wife into whether I could have children or not, which is, that's not true. That's not true. And that goes not only with childbearing, but with anything else in life. Our worth is not attached to things of this world. Our worth is not attached to things that are beyond our control, right? Our worth really isn't attached to our list of accomplishments. You know, our worth is attached to Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and who he says we are, and what he says we are, and who he knit us to be in our mother's womb. And so fast forward to kind of where I am today and why I've been like crying my eyes out today. So fast forward, I go and I have these babies within, you know, 3 years and 9 days. I have these beautiful children. And now May is meant to make mamas cry. May is filled with, you know, our kids are moving on to different grades. Our kids are graduating. Our kids are like ready to get out of school, you know, and then nowadays it's like, there's a celebration for everything in school. So I spent all day yesterday up at the elementary school, because our oldest is graduating from elementary school, going to what we have here is an intermediate school. And, this will make sense in a minute, but this is the last. Today is the last full day that all four of my children will be in the same school ever. And this kind of was sprung on me. And this was not supposed to be the case. It was supposed to be by my rules. And I'll explain that in a minute. And so that just kind of hit me. And my babies, because of the journey to get to them, and the miracle of twins and the miracle of having four babies in 3 years and 9 days, after 6 years of infertility, after being told that me and my husband are not compatible, after a sporadic pregnancy, being told that we would never probably be able to have a baby again, after being blessed to be able to stay at home with my kids, after being blessed to be able to homeschool them, after being blessed to have them all, you know, going into, you know, being in the same schools for, and after being blessed with them having these like incredibly close relationships with one another. And then now they're growing up and they're leaving little pieces of the nest, you know, in different ways. And so, this is their last full day of being in the same school together. And then we had to make a really hard decision for the twins. COVID really rocked their world. They missed a large chunk of 4K. And they're August babies. Their birthdays are in August. They had some developmental setbacks when they were infants, where they were extremely sick, and our goal was to keep them alive, and they just had some setbacks. So we made a really hard decision to retain them in first grade. So they're going to be repeating first grade. And that's hard, because they've made some really incredible friends in first grade. And by retaining them in first grade means that when my oldest is a senior in high school, that they won't be a freshman in high school. They'll be in eighth grade. So this whole thing that I've had in my head for all these years of them being freshmen when she's a senior and them all being in high school together, it's not gonna happen. And, yeah. And then, I don't know, it's just hard. And then I made the really hard decision yesterday to separate them and to put them in different classes because their needs are so different. What one twin needs is very different than what the other twin needs. And their personalities, they're so different. And it's not fair for me to keep them together in a class just because it's more convenient for me, or just because I want to just keep them in their little bubble. And so yesterday was really hard. Yesterday was watching my oldest go through and do this little graduation celebration kind of thing they have, the clap in the halls. Watching her get the award for best all around, which was a big deal, watching her shine because, she'd been homeschooled, and watching her shine in this new environment. Watching my twin sing a song about going on to second grade, but then me realizing, no, you're not going to second grade, you're going to do first grade again, and then making the hard choice to separate them. And I just cried. I just cried and cried and cried, and I'm about to cry again. Because I just love them so much, and I want what's best for them. And what's best for them, sometimes, y'all, what's best for our kids is sometimes what is hardest for us, and is sometimes the hardest decisions for us as moms. And so, what I'm coming here to tell you today, this long live, it's been spilling my heart, is it is so important. It is so important for us get some more tissue, as we are giving so much of our energy and our time and our emotions into our children because they are a heritage from the Lord. They are a gift from the Lord. They are our calling to raise these mighty arrows. But they are going to leave the nest. Right? They are going to, we want them to go forth and prosper. We want them to leave. We want them to graduate fourth grade. I want my twins to be separate individuals. I don't want them to be codependent on one another. Like, I really don't, but it still hurts to separate them, right? We want our children to be these independent people. However, when that happens, when they separate from us, when they grow, as they become independent, as they graduate, as we're weeping, we find, I'm not going to sugarcoat this, we find a hole, right? There's a hole in our mama hearts. The snuggles become less. The mommy turns to mom, turns to bra. We hear that all the time. Our sons hug us less in public. Our daughters become little sassy things. Like it happens. Like that separation, the infant, I mean, like it happens. It's a grief process. Motherhood is a continual grief process as they grow and they separate. So, as that hole happens, as we feel that hole, like this morning, I'm feeling the hole, I'm feeling that gap. And it's a big hole this morning. And I haven't even gotten to the celebrations for my son, my middle son. That's next week. We have to fill that hole and that gap with something. So, if you aren't doing things over these years of child rearing, if you aren't doing something to care for yourself, to fill your soul, to fill your spirit, to help you have more joy, more energy, more peace in who you are, in who God created you to be, if you aren't focusing anything on your identity of who Christ designed you to be, on where God wants you in your life, where God is calling your path as an individual, not your path as a mom, not your path as a wife, your path and your calling as an individual with your calling and your gifts, if you aren't forging on that path, what do you have to fill that hole as your kids are moving forward? Because they will leave. You will cry. You will ugly cry. And that's okay. But what are you going to fill that hole with when you ugly cry? What are you doing now to prepare to fill that hole? That is the work that I do with my clients. That is the work that I have done with myself. I've learned the hard way. When you don't have anything to fill that hole, that's when you turn to negative habits that aren't going to serve you well. That's when you turn to overindulgence. That's when you turn to negative self-talk. That's when you turn to pushing other people away who really love and care about you. That's when you turn to shame, turn to guilt. That's when you turn to overcommitting yourself as a distraction. That's when you turn to getting overly involved in all the committees at church because you don't want to deal with things. When you're not taking care of yourself, your mind, your body, your spirit, your soul, you have nothing to fill these holes and these gaps that come from the month of May and other things. So my question for you today is, what are you doing when these weepy days come? Like, today is a weepy, weepy day for me. What are you doing to take care of yourself to fill those gaps? And you're sitting here going, I don't know. I'm doing nothing. I'm doing nothing. I don't spend the time with the Lord that I need to spend with Him. I over yes. I have no idea what energy, peace, and joy are. When's the last time I went on a date with my husband? I'm not pouring anything into my marriage. I'm so exhausted. Me? Who's that? I spend so much time talking about all the things I can't do. I don't know anything I can do well. All I am is a servant and a mate. Like, if you're saying these things and you can't think of something positive, or you can't think of the last time that you did something for yourself, or if you feel guilty about taking 10 minutes to spend with the Lord, or spend just marveling at His creation, or you don't know where to fit that in your schedule, that's a problem. It's a problem. I'm just going to shoot you straight. It is a problem. And I want to help you with that. The first thing that I can do to help you is provide you with my complimentary program called Psalms for the Soul. And it is a very, very simple course that you can walk through to help you reset. Psalms for the Soul. It can help you reset in a very simple way. You basically write your own psalm on one thing that you want to shift. It can be one thought. Maybe you have a negative self-thought of, I'm so tired. So you're going to write a psalm, which is essentially a poem or a prayer to God about how to help you lean on the Lord to help you not be so tired, okay? So I'm going to put the link for that here in the bottom for you to sign up for that. And if this really resonated with you, if you're like, oh my God, May is making me so tired, and I'm so sad, and I'm so cry, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and I feel this big hole, and I have nothing to fill it up, and you want to talk to me about joining one of my programs, message me or comment below that you want to talk, and we'll hop on a Zoom, and we'll figure it out together, okay? I love you all in this group so much, and know that May is hard. I'm about to start crying again. May is not done. I'm going to cry some more, and we'll cry together. I'm in it with you. I'm healing with you, and I just appreciate all of you more than you'll ever know, okay? I'm going to drop the link for the Soul, the complimentary course below. Please sign up for that Soul, Psalms for the Soul. It's a great, great, great tool to get you going on the right path. I look forward to talking with y'all soon. Bye.
My prayer is that you are leaving this episode with more energy, more joy, and more peace than when you came to. Make sure to subscribe and share the Well Society podcast so that we can reach more driven yes women like you. Come join us in the Women at the Well Christian Health and Wellness Support Group on Facebook and subscribe to my email list to stay apprised of all upcoming events, programs, and coaching opportunities. If the content of this episode resonated with you and you'd like to speak with me about investing and working with me one-on-one or in the Well Society Intensive, please visit www.aaronkcoaching.com to schedule a complimentary fitting call. Until the next time we meet at this well, do well, be well, and feel well.